This is Lifeline. I should be joined on the phone live by Mairead Mangan, who is head of fundraising at ARC Cancer Support Services. Good morning, Mairead.
Good morning, and good thank you very much for having me on this morning.
Pleasure. I think we spoke a few months back as well.
I think we did.
We're
stirring up quite a relationship here.
We are. The neighbours will talk, I can tell you. Let them. Firstly, Mairead, can you tell us where you're based and perhaps a little bit about the history of ARC Cancer Support?
ARC Cancer Support Centres, we sort of provide emotional, practical and psychological support for people diagnosed with cancer, their family and their carers. We have two drop-in centres in 65 Echo Street, Dublin 7, and 559 South Circular Road, Dublin 8. We're strategically located beside four centres of excellence for cancer care. On the north side, the Mater and Beaumont, and the south side, James's and Vincent's.
All our
services are free of charge.
I was about to say, can you tell us a little bit about some of the services that you offer as well? Because I know they're quite extensive and important.
They're really important because they actually support people from a psychological point of view. You know, being diagnosed with a cancer diagnosis has a devastating impact, not only on the patient, but also on their loved ones. So ARC, you know, step into the fray, and we have courses like Cancer Survive and Thrive, Stress Management, Prostate Cancer Program, Living Life with Secondary Cancer, Relaxation and Visualization, the Climb Children's Program, the Carers Program, and then we have classes like yoga, mindfulness, relaxation, support groups. We have an open men's group, an open women's group, and breast cancer peer support group. Then we have one-to-one therapies, counselling, acupuncture, manual lymph drainage, reflexology, Indian head massage. And then we have survivorship programs, which include talks on nutrition, fatigue, physical activity. And then we have positive appearance programs, benefits and entitlements, and all these services are provided free of charge.
Now, if those services weren't there, Mairead, if they vanished tomorrow, what would that mean to the people who use them?
I think it would cause consternation, to be honest, because I think once people walk in through the doors of ARC, I think the psychological impact, should I start off by saying, the psychological impact of a cancer diagnosis. In the hospital you have your radiotherapy and your chemotherapy. But ARC sort of look at the patient as a holistic whole. And if your mind is in a good place going through a cancer diagnosis, you can, and you know, you're empowered to actually deal with that diagnosis. And I think everybody who is diagnosed with cancer suffers from really high levels of anxiety and distress. Mm-hmm. And by coming into ARC, we actually help people to come to terms with that. And it allows them to cope better with their illness. Mm-hmm. That's what I would actually say.
Mm-hmm. How many people can you cater for? Mairead,
we have about 15,000 visits into both our centres, you know, collectively. So that's a lot, considering that there's 30,000 people diagnosed with cancer in the country.
Wow. So 15,000.
So it's hugely in demand.
Yeah. And for the people who use those services, Mairead, I can only imagine, because we all know people who've been diagnosed with cancer, and but it's those support services, particularly the initial support within the cusp of diagnosis, that's vitally important. And it's organisations like yourself that make it that little bit easier. Would that be right? beginning.
Absolutely. And what I'd actually say is it's really throughout the cancer pathway, really, the journey that people are going on, because it's a lonely journey. Being a survivor is a lonely journey. And, you know, the development of the services in ARC is a huge boost for people. And we'd love more and more people to come in through our doors to avail of the services. So we rely very heavily, as you know, on the continued generosity of the public and corporations. So if anybody is listening and, you know, would like to help us, even in a volunteering capacity, please get in touch with us.
Okay.
Or look us up on www.arccancersupport.ie.
And is there a training process that people have to go through, Mairéad, before they can get involved as volunteers?
Yeah, there's stringent, you know, guidelines in place, and there's a training program that people go through to become a volunteer, and they're vetted, etc., etc.
Okay. Now, this morning we're talking about the National Cancer Strategy, 2017 to 2026. How important is it that all parts of this strategy are implemented?
This is a very forward document. A lot of hard work into it. I actually sat on the strategy group myself. I was a rep from the patient forum. There's 52 recommendations, and it's really important because we need to get Ireland into the top end of world-class cancer care. There's a lot of recommendations, but I suppose, you know, from a patient forum point of view, we were actually delighted to be able to sit on that, and we believe that the patient voice has come through, and it's the voice is audible throughout. I think psychosocial, psycho-oncology and survivorship care is a very strong focus for the new strategy. And this is because many survivors are living long after receiving a cancer diagnosis. And we just feel that psychosocial support for patients must be an issue that is addressed. And this really ties in with the work of ARC and other community cancer support centres.
Is there a degree of networking between yourself and other cancer support centres, Mairéad, or
yes,
is it something happens organically?
It's a bit of both, really, to be honest with you. But definitely we would keep in touch with the other support centres around the country, and there is a network of cancer support centres that meet up on a regular basis to discuss, you know, the best way forward and, you know, how to the delivery of services to make sure that it is a service of excellence as well. But with the new strategy also, we will be linking in with the designated cancer support centres, and there will be clear pathways for a referral, you know, from these psychosocial oncology teams. So that is a good step forward.
Just looking at the time span of the strategy, it's a relatively long plan in itself. 2017 to 2026 is a decade. Should stuff need doing that perhaps isn't of a priority now but might be in 5 years' time, can that plan be adapted then?
Oh, absolutely. There's going to be a monitoring group attached to the implementation of this strategy. So they will be meeting and consulting on, you know, changes as they go forward.
Okay.
So, no, they're very, very serious about this. But the bottom line is that the government need to step up and cough up and ensure, you know, that the 52 recommendations are put in place. And it's really not an option to stand still at this point.
Have you spoken to any of the relevant government departments, particularly, I presume, the Department of Health, about this, Mairéad? And do you think there's a clear commitment there, or is there a deficiency, so to say?
I think that Simon Harris is very committed. I actually met him at the launch And he has been a visitor into ARC as well and is quite impressed with that. But I think the guy is quite committed, or very committed, should I say. But again, it's resourcing. It's down to the finer ingredients. It's resourcing and just making sure that the money is available. Now, he has committed money, so we're hoping that that comes through. But they're very committed. I mean, there was a lot of hard work put into this document. They are gung-ho to do it, but it's just, the government can't stand still and need to, cough up. That's what I would
Absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely, and you need to be on them. If you need to be on them, as simple as that.
Yeah, we need to, but they are, and, I have to say that the Department of Health and, Professor John Kennedy, who was the head of the... and led the whole strategy, is terribly, terribly committed. But there are a lot of, there are a lot of deficits as well. We just seem not to be able to attract the nursing and the doctors into this country. And we need to address the issues around that before anything can really happen,
Mm-hmm. We spoke earlier about some of the key points of this strategy. Mairead, are there any key points within the strategy that you think would be vitally important to, say, somebody especially like yourself that offers specific supports?
How do you mean? Sorry.
Any kind of key points in this strategy that you yourself, ARC, would be very happy with and would desperately like to see implemented?
Well, we welcome the plan to implement the survivorship programs for patients with cancer.
Yeah.
These will have a very beneficial effect on the individual's physical, emotional and psychological recovery and assist them to re-engage with their families, their workplaces and their wider communities. And then the development of the multidisciplinary psychosocial oncology teams in each centre will liaise and work with community cancer support centres like ARC Cancer Support Centres. This is a really welcome initiative. And we know that when people receive psychological support in the right place at the right time, their quality of life is improved. They're less likely to be readmitted to acute hospitals for care and more likely to participate in active lives and in many cases return to work and live a good quality of life beyond cancer.
Absolutely.
We welcome the development of the adolescent and young people services. These are a group of people with particular needs that really haven't always been met. So the completion of the new National Children's Hospital will facilitate the young people up to the age of 22. And after that, their care will be managed in an appropriate centre of excellence. Provided by community cancer support centres like ARC and other voluntary agencies. So, it is really, really encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Whose idea was it to put this strategy together, Mairead? Was it one individual's idea or was it a group of people who decided to put this together?
Well, I think this is the third cancer strategy.
Okay.
So each strategy lasts 10 years. So I think it was sort of an evolving thing, that it had to be addressed. Professor John Kennedy would have led it, but there would have been a lot of, radiotherapists, surgeons, like the multidisciplinary, the whole brains of medicine and the allied professions would have sat on the strategy group.
And just looking at the strategy itself, if those 52 points are implemented, or if the majority of those 52 points are implemented, Mairead, what difference will that make to a cancer sufferer's life?
Well, I think it will actually mean that the care and the service is at the international standard. Mm-hmm. So everything improves as it goes along. It'll also, if all of those 52 recommendations are put in place, it'll actually mean that Ireland will go up the scale of care on the international circuit. Because at the moment, we're a little bit below the 50%, so it would mean that we'd be up in the top quarter, I think.
And are there any key areas, Mairead, that need to be implemented now as a matter of urgency?
Well, I think the biggest issue really is the staffing. You know, I think the staffing and to attract, you know, good doctors and nursing staff. I think that would be a huge thing going forward. Because in Professor John Kennedy's speech, he actually spoke about that we're actually exporting our talent and we don't seem to be able to attract them back. So the package needs to be attractive for them to come back.
Mm-hmm. Now, just looking at the strategy again in its totality, how long did it take to come up with this strategy? Was there a specific period of time, say a period of maybe 6 months perhaps, to put this thing together?
Or 2 years.
How many? How long?
2 years.
Wow, 2 years. And in that time, and are you happy enough now that you were listened to throughout the process and that this is a definitive strategy that, if implemented, should help?
I think it should help enormously. But unless the 52 recommendations are implemented, like, it's not going to be great. You know, they have to implement the 52, and the money needs to be there.
Yeah.
And you know, the government needs to support it, really.
Now, you're head of fundraising at the centre, Mairead. Have you any plans, any planned events coming up later in the year that you can tell us about? I think there might be a couple of things that you'd like to tell our listeners about this morning.
Well, we are hoping that most people, we're hoping that people will actually run a coffee morning for us.
Oh, cool.
During the summer months. So if anybody is interested in running a coffee morning, please get in touch with myself, Jess or Tracy. And then on the 8th of October, we have a big event, which is a very emotive event, and it's called the Torch of Hope Relay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a walk around Dublin Bay, starting at Clontarf, the wooden bridge in Clontarf on the north side, and at Blackrock Park on the south side. And we converge then onto the Samuel Beckett Bridge. And it's really all about cancer survivors being supported by their carers and friends. And we'd love anybody to join us. We just ask people to sign up, take a sponsorship card, and try and raise some money for us on that. ARC really does depend on the continued generosity of the public provide our services free of charge.
And
then on the 1st of December, we have a lunch in the Intercontinental Hotel.
Wow.
A table of 10 is 1,100, and all monies raised go towards our services.
Can you remind people again where this walk is taking place? I think that's important.
It's taking place on Sunday, the 8th of October.
Okay.
It starts at 4:30 p.m. And it's really emotional. You know, it's all about survivors, and there's a remembrance service as well, remembering those that have passed throughout the year. And there's two Olympic torches and a cauldron. And we have the Dublin Community Gospel Choir singing, and normally Christy Dignam from Aslan actually comes down. Christy is a great supporter of ARC, and he belts out a few tunes in the CHQ building.
No better man. And for
you might come yourself.
Oh, absolutely, definitely. And hopefully get the chance to meet you as well. In the last 30 seconds or so that we have left, you mentioned earlier that you're looking for volunteers. How can people volunteer? And lastly, for people who'd like more information about ARC, have you got got a phone number handy, perhaps a website address. And if you do social media, and let's face it, who doesn't these days? Are you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram?
We're on all of the above, but I suppose the best way is through www.arccancersupport.ie. Our mothership or headquarters is in Eccles Street, so that's 01830 7333.
I love the whole idea of having a mothership. It must be fantastic.
Yeah, mothership. Yeah, our mothership.
Love it.
It's a good one, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
But, we are always looking for volunteers, and anybody listening, I can just say everybody is a potential volunteer in ARC, be it opening the door, be it you know, talking to our volunteers, helping us with our fundraising, making a cup of tea, being good at admin. Like, we need everybody. We're a very, very small team. I always say that we're like the Ryanair or the cancer charity. There's no frills, but a great service.
Well, I can tell you, he's doing an amazing job.
Financially, yeah.
Absolutely.
So listen, you know, we're always looking for people, and everybody is a potential volunteer. Everybody has something to offer ARC.
Great stuff. Mairead, once again, thanks a million for taking time out to talk to us this morning. We'll
talk
again before your walk. Absolutely. This is what we're here for.